Welcome to the Other Discovery Show, the bonus show from the Podcast Discovery Show, but it's not about podcasts. It's about all the other discoveries that we've made throughout the week. I'm Kirk.
I'm Zach.
I'm Phil.
And this week, we have a lot of new discoveries, and we're excited to talk about them. My first discovery I thought was really cool, and it was about... So, did you know, this is today I learned that I found, but the article is pretty interesting. It gets a little deep into the science of it, so it got a little dry at points, but I'm excited to share it. That zebras' stripes aren't just to make them look cool. It also is used to deter biting bugs, like insects, you know, cow flies, mosquitoes, things like that. So they actually did an experiment where cows painted like zebras.
Okay, that's an experiment I can get behind. I love the idea of that.
They fended off flies better than their plain-coated counterparts.
Hmm.
So I'm going to read some of the quotes from the article. A cow's days of fly shoeing and hoof stomping might soon be over. All it takes to repel pests is a new paint job, researchers say. Black cows painted to look like zebras are significantly less likely to endure pesky housefly bites, nearly 50% less, according to a new study published in PLOS-1, which is some scientific place.
You said 50%, though.
Yeah.
That's it's serious.
Significant.
Yeah.
It's significant. While unpainted cows with black stripes endured upward of 110 bites in 30 minutes, the black and white cows suffered fewer than 60 in the same period, researchers found. Zebra stripes have more than aesthetic value. They help fend off bloodsuckers. Past studies have proven flies are less likely to land on black and white surfaces. It's a polarization of light that impairs their perception, so they can't properly decelerate. So, like, they don't know when to stop.
They ram the cow.
So they're like, I just won't go over there because I might hit my face on this cow's butt. Since they can't swat flies away, cows exert significant energy to avoid them. They'll bunch up or group close together to prevent fly attacks, which can increase their risk of heat stress and injury. Subbing in paint for pesticides would benefit the environment and human health is something that's also interesting. The only thing that sucks for farmers that have cows is you have to reapply like twice a week.
Time to go paint the cows.
Yeah, fresh coat of paint on my... Is that a bovine?
Yes.
Yeah. So I've actually helped work cows before, and it's not easy at all to get them all in the chute and where you would normally put pesticides on. So I can't imagine...
Trying to paint them?
To paint them. Because they weren't like... One or two stripes. They look like zebras in this study. but it's great, man. There's pictures of cows painted like zebras, and it made my day.
Yeah, I could see that. But also, the idea that, and I had never put together that that was some kind of a, it makes sense now that I've heard it, but I never put together that that was for a reason, you know, that they had developed stripes for a reason.
So it was a funny story, but also I was like, that's really cool. I had no clue that zebra stripes were more than just like...
Wait, so if we paint ourselves black and white...
That's exactly what I was thinking.
We live in Florida.
It works against mosquitoes?
Mosquitoes suck here.
Is that a pun?
Literally. They do. They suck.
I would maybe be willing to do that. To just like, if I'm going out on a day fishing...
Full of flies just, and skeeters off of you.
Just paint myself black and white.
Okay, no. TM, TM, TM. This is a trademark before I say it. We need to make a clothing line that's all zebra stripe for Floridians.
I think they have that, but it mostly caters to strippers right now.
Obviously, it comes with a customary, the visor with the hair attached to it. I feel like that would kind of go.
Wait, are you talking about the little fluffy on top?
Like the Guy Fieri, and you have the hair.
Why does that exist?
Your zebra ZZ Top suit.
Zach,
what is that?
Why not?
Why wouldn't you?
No, but like, what is that? Why is there a visor? First of all, Don't get me started on visors.
They're called VIGs, right? Visor wigs?
Or visors?
Wait, are you just making that up?
Yeah, I completely made that up.
I thought that was a real thing.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was a name.
It's like, I've never heard that, but you
check out my new VIG.
You say it with such confidence that I kind of believe it. No, but why? Visors are stupid. Wear a hat or don't wear a hat. It's fine.
And by stupid, you mean cool.
No, oh. I mean the opposite of that.
Yeah.
But
why don't you ever see bald people wear visors?
They do. They have hair in them built in. Duh.
No, because could you imagine the sunburn?
But yeah, because you just have a circle of sunburn on the top of your head. It's counterproductive. And what I'm saying is, and I do think that you're onto something here. I think the reason that visors exist is because you want to show off that luscious mane and wear a hat. You want to block the sun from your eyes, but you want people to know that you have ballin' hair at the same time.
If you go to a college and you're in a fraternity in the Southeast, you have to have khaki shorts, Birkenstocks, and visors.
And you button up blue Oxford polos.
Yeah,
shop.
Some Oxfords, whatever. Sure. Yeah, that's the uniform.
Okay.
I mean, like every school, you have to have that or you won't be admitted in the college, right?
You're definitely not getting any sorority.
You're definitely not getting into a frat. Yeah.
Like, frat. What did I say?
Use
I didn't
sorority.
Go to college, sorry.
No, but like you're definitely not getting into a frat. But then you're
definitely not getting into sorority.
Sorority, if you wear a visor, you're out. Like, I think that's just part of it. No, girls, it makes more sense because they have like a ponytail.
Yeah.
But like guys, I think it's just to show off the hair.
I don't think I've ever seen a woman wear a visor.
But then
I just thought about that.
No, they do though, because they can stick their hair out the back. Just like
when you play tennis.
No, I'm sorry. I've seen
Turks watch a lot of WNBA.
No, the women's PG. They don't go around wearing visors.
I don't think it's much cooler.
That's the joke. No, but okay, so we go from visors to we need a visor, but we need weird fake hair on top. We don't want you to actually see the top of their head. We need some kind of fluffy Dr. Seuss Guy Fieri mixture out the top. So people like, even if you don't have hair, we got you covered. You're going to have some fluffies out the top of your visor. Who is that? Why?
I'm going to take it one step further because I definitely saw a guy the other day in downtown wearing that, but it was a MAGA hat.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It was cool. I thought it was really cool.
No, that's the worst. That is the worst.
It was definitely a MAGA visor.
Okay, what was the...
It had Trump hair on top.
Oh, really my did. God. Like...
So a blonde comb over?
Yes. A orange.
It just had like
poof,
fluffy.
It was sick. I was like, man, I kind of want one of those. I'm upset Christmas is over. You know?
That is ridiculous. That I had no idea that existed. Maybe it shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah, it probably should not. But
and that's where we are.
So I discovered something this week I would like to talk about, and it kind of hits close to home. Zach, how tall are you?
I'm pushing 6'3".
Okay.
So probably like between 6'2 and 6'3".
On a good day, if I have good posture, I'm 6 foot tall-ish. Kirk, we've known each other since the sixth grade. How much have you grown since middle school? How like tall are you, Kirk?
I like how you frame his that way.
Yeah, just a little different. Just give everybody, if they're not watching, they can listen and just, I can paint a visual picture.
I've grown about 3 inches.
So that you're 5'4 now?
No, I started at 5'4. Now I'm like 5'6.
Okay. I read a thing this week.
5'7.
That you might be interested in.
That's the math.
Let me ask you a question. If you could have surgery to make yourself taller, would you do it? And how much is that worth?
Now? No. When I was younger? Yeah.
Yeah, at a young, formidable age.
Because I had, there was a few kids maybe that were in this room that picked on me for being short. I remember, this is no joke. I remember being in elementary school and asking my mom, I went home and we're at dinner. And she's like, honey, what's wrong? I'm like, Mom, am I a midget?
And can you hand me that off the counter?
Because everybody used to call me that. And I thought that I was. I literally thought as a small child.
Like, I'm laughing,
that I was
but
a little
sad.
Person.
If you're interested in having the surgery as an adult, Dr. Kevin Debbie Parshard.
What?
That's how he says it, I think. He has a place in Las Vegas called the Limplast X. They opened in 2018. He's already had 30 patients for $76,000.
Oh.
What?
Can I tell you that the size increase is not worth it? This dude gained about 5 to 6 inches of height.
No, that's significant, though.
It's not that crazy. I don't know if it's 76,000.
$76,000.
Half a foot.
And it says, too, that you... you pretty much lose if you did any kind of sports or anything before that. You lose that. And then you have to go to...
Wait. You can't do athletic activities anymore.
Well, yeah. They have to break your legs and put a bunch of rods and screws and pins in there. And then they stretch you out.
So it's just bone stilts.
Yeah. You're just getting permanent stilts.
That is not good.
Come on in. Let's make you taller.
Permastilts.
It's not
is
good.
It like braces where you keep going in and they just make it a little bit?
Yeah, you just, all right, we got to tighten this screw up today, boy. And then it was also.
Days after is going to be painful.
It was also, too, it said how much like physical therapy they had to go to. Like it was like 2 or 3 months worth of physical therapy, and then they might start walking good again in the future.
That is the worst. All of this is terrible.
I just don't know, man. That's.
No, okay.
Almost $100,000 for like 5 inches.
Don't get me wrong. You're not wrong. I think that that is not worth it. I don't think that's worth it because, you might be able to walk again one day. You're going to be taller, though.
You might be able to walk again.
You're going to look real tall in those crutches.
You're definitely not going to have a cool NBA career because you can't play sports anymore. Somebody hits you in the leg with a basketball, you're done. You're toast.
Yeah, I think if you get hit by a light breeze, your leg's going to break. And so it's like, is that really worth being a little taller? Maybe not.
That's what
probably
I think
not.
The guy that they showed
if I was ever going to do it, it's going to be made out of whatever that metal that Wolverine's made out of.
That's adamantium.
Okay, so
I want to be a mutant. I want to be
so cool. Yeah, fictional
if I could get
metal skeleton.
Adamantium.
Easy for you to say.
Legs. Then maybe I would do it.
I mean,
or like carbon fiber. Like I'm really fast now. I'm super tall at 5'11".
I'm aerodynamic. My bone strength is good, but my weight's light.
So for $100,000, you could be 6'1".
That is, and not be able to walk anymore.
Still be shorter than Zach.
Cool. You could set your seat back like one notch in your truck. That'd be cool. You'd be a little bit farther away from the gas.
And you just have to take a rascal everywhere because you can't walk anymore.
Everyone wouldn't be frustrated when they get in my truck in the driver's seat if I ask them to drive.
But then your arms still stay the normal size of your, proportionate to
so
your body.
You end up being a T-Rex for the rest of your life.
You're not going to be able to tie your own shoes?
No, I will say, and this isn't to be mean to you, but I can't even get in there. I can't get in that truck. Like, I can't.
This is my point. Especially the first time, you're like, hey, can you drive? And they get like, what the heck? Who sits here? Me. I sit there.
Yeah, it's just I have to. Yeah, I can't even fit in there. But that is not. It's fine. I don't think you should get this surgery.
I don't think you should get the surgery.
That sounds terrible.
It sounds rough.
Yeah, that sounds like not worth it. So this week I discovered, and it wasn't the first time I discovered it. I just kind of dug in again. Are you guys familiar with Andrew Carnegie? An American legend, I guess you'd say. He came over from Scotland, I believe. And
is that the philanthropist guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he got there eventually. So he built a steel and like rail empire. And he sold this for $400 million in 1901.
God, what? Okay. Does it say what that equates
to? I'd like to see
Carnegie's share of this amounted to $225 million. In 2019, that's $6.93 billion. So he built an empire. He built an empire on the scale of which you will rarely see. I don't know that I've seen anybody in my lifetime sell something for $7 billion. He sold it to J.P. Morgan in 1901. But the interesting thing to me about Andrew Carnegie is after this is when he gets very interesting. So after he sold out of his steel business, he became essentially the lighthouse for philanthropists and like billionaires until now. So he wrote a bunch of really interesting essays and he built 3,000-ish public libraries because he essentially had a lot of opinions on how rich, like successful entrepreneurs should use their wealth in capitalism.
So this is the way trickle down should work.
Yes. Okay. So
people like him.
This is the This is what people will point to when they say trickle down economics, and there are still some people like that. Don't get me wrong.
I mean,
and okay.
The Microsoft guy. Dang it,
Bill Gates.
Yeah,
Warren Buffett has essentially promised his entire fortune.
They've done more
away.
Good for the world than, I mean, so much.
Yeah,
stuff.
But we're living in a time where people are examining this a lot. They're examining the gap between the richest and the poorest. They're examining how the richest are using their money. You know, and first of all, I think that's fair. I think that is 100% fair, but you always get into these conversations about how we need to move away from capitalism. And here's one of the interesting things about Carnegie. He was very introspective. He was very idealistic and scholarly, where he would try and explore what these ideas meant. And so he wrote something, and I'll link it in the show notes because it's a very interesting read. He wrote an essay called The Gospel of Wealth, where he talks about essentially the responsibility of the wealthy to use their money correctly. And this was written in the late 1800s. This is not new, but I'm going to read to you the intro to this because just wait. This is like over 100 years ago, but listen to how relevant this is right now. The problem of our age is the proper administration of wealth, so that the ties of brotherhood may still bind together the rich and the poor in harmonious relationship. The conditions of human life have not only been changed but revolutionized within the past few hundred years. In former days, there was little difference between the dwelling, dress, food, and environment of the chief and those of his retainers. The Indians are today where civilized man was then. When visiting the Sioux, I was led to the wigwam of the chief. It was just like that of the others in external appearance, and even within, the difference was trifling between it and those of the poorest of his braves. The contrast between the palace of the millionaire and the cottage of the laborer with us today measures the change which has come with civilization. And he also very famously said, if you die wealthy, if you die hoarding your wealth, then you have failed. And it's throughout this essay.
There's so much to that quote or that idea.
Yeah.
There's a lot to that.
And I mentioned this because he also lived this way, where like 3,000 libraries, 3,000 public libraries. What is the cost of that? You know, what would that take to do that even now? And his idea was give knowledge to people, just allow it to spread. Because also we've talked about, I think before on the show, the impact that public libraries have on a community. Because you have access to the internet, you have access to information, you have just, it's important. And he literally built 3,000 of them. And so the scale of what he was doing, this wasn't just it was lip service and he was just throwing this out there. This was something that he practiced. But I will throw this in the show notes because this is a cool thing to read. And don't get me wrong, he kind of goes against practicing or turning over everything for socialism or communism. He mainly is just under the opinion that act the right way and don't change what we're doing. Just do right.
So more like the wealthy should take account and be held to a higher standard themselves.
Yes. And not just take account. It's their responsibility.
Yeah.
Because they have the opportunity and it is your responsibility to help the country.
Man, I wish that it worked that way more often.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. Don't get me wrong. This is not me saying that we need to move to being communist. And that's not his perspective either. But just this is one of the most successful American success stories in general. He followed the American dream. He was an entrepreneur. He built an empire. He sold it. And then he went on to benefit the lives of poor Americans. You know, he went on to benefit the lives of countless thousands of Americans because of his fortune.
Yeah.
And so it's just a cool thing. And I will throw this in the show notes. Check it out. He is an interesting guy. And it's just one of those things that I had read this. I think I read this in college where they were having us read an essay and kind of it was college. So it was like one of those things like, oh, debate, is capitalism good or not? You know, because they basically just have you do that for a thought experiment.
Yeah.
Where it's not, he wasn't advocating like we should switch, but it's more like, think about it. You know, think about our current system and how things are. But when you hear that first paragraph, it's what's happening right now. This was written over 100 years ago. And so it's just kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I've worked with people and tried to be friends with people that are like, I don't know, like two tax brackets above me.
Yeah.
And there's like this weird disconnect, man. It's like we weren't able to stay friends because of that. Because I wasn't able to keep up with them. And it's like, I have to keep up with you to be friends with you? Like, that's just weird, man.
Yeah, he talks a lot about relatability.
And it I felt that myself. Because, I don't know, it's a weird thing. But that can change somebody to the point where they can't relate to you anymore. I mean, I got people in my family that, you know, once they hit that level, they're gone. You know, they're all they want to talk about is their new car and all that stuff like that. And like, dude, care about that.
I don't care. My car is terrible.
I got an old car that I'm sitting really close to the steering wheel. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I didn't say anything except for that roast.
He broke out another short joke. Just peppering him in.
Is that the part that, because you have in your notes, insert Kirk short joke here. Yeah. Is that it? Okay.
That wasn't it, but that'll work.
It's coming later. Just wait for it.
Right. There's more. Okay. Just wait. There's more. So last Todd's, we teased that we now have a call-in hotline, the Discovery hotline that you can call, and you can leave a discovery and we'll play it on the show. And we had so many calls, so many to go through, and we have some to talk about and play tonight, and we're very excited. So here are our first two that we're going to play this week.
Yeah, they don't have any apples at the Apple store, just a bunch of computers. So don't go in there if your blood sugar's low.
All right, so PSA, if you didn't get that, there's not any actual apples at the Apple store. So just make sure that if you're at the mall and and your blood sugar's low, find the Jamba Juice, not the Apple Store, because they're not going to help you.
They don't have apples.
No apples.
But we have another one that is different than that.
Yeah, it's our film correspondent, Keith, from the Pop-Up Filmcast.
Has a film discovery for everyone.
Hey, Kirk. Hey, Zach. This is Keith from the podcast, from the Pop-Up Filmcast. Jesus, Pete. This is not a good way to start. You guys can edit that part out. And we'll start over. Hey, Kirk. Hey, Zach. This is KG from the Pop-Up Filmcast. Just want to call. Hey, I recently had a bit of a movie discovery for you and your listeners. I don't know if you guys have heard of this or not, but I recently saw Uncut Gems. It's a new Adam Sandler movie, and it's pretty darn good. The last 15 minutes or so, I found to be really quite riveting. Overall, I mean, it's not Sandler doing his normal buffoon thing, which is kind of really what hooked me in the first place. It's written and directed by the Safdie brothers. Basically, Adam Sandler playing a jewel merchant, seller, whatever the term. You know, he's got a really nice exclusive shop. Gets a whole bunch of people coming through all the time, buying some very expensive wares and stuff like that. But he's also got a bit of a gambling problem. Kevin Garnett shows up, the basketball player, former NBA legend Kevin Garnett. And, you know, things go for a wild ride from there. It is it's a little over 2 hours long, so it's a little bit on the long side of a movie for me. I think they could cut it down a bit and tighten it up. But overall, it's well worth the watch. It's probably, you know, you can get away with it watching it at home, streaming or like through a Redbox rental or something like that. But, good movie. That's, Uncut Gems. And that's my movie discovery of the week for you guys. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Keith. And thank you,
whoever
you were. We really appreciate it. That was great. But thank you, Keith. I will say this. I had to ask Zach. And then I had to do a little research. I was like, is this a real movie?
Yeah, he was.
I saw the preview for it, and it looks really good. It just looks different. It doesn't look like normal Adam Sandler stuff.
I'll throw this out there. Anything A24 does, so they're a production company, film production, they do good stuff. Like they did like Ex Machina and Annihilation. They do really good movies. You don't really have to – they like putting out weird stuff that's good. So
they did Ex Machina?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
And –
that's a weird movie.
As soon as I saw that they were doing an Adam Sandler movie, I was like, okay, here's Adam Sandler's good contribution for this decade.
Yeah.
And then we're back to Grown Up 17 next month.
Well, and then we just had Blended and Jack and Jill from him, so that was the other lead.
Wait, was Jack and Jill recently?
No, it was like
last decade's hit.
Okay.
Got him the Razzie.
Yeah, so if you don't know, Keith is our friend from the Pop-Up Filmcast, and what they do is they have guests on their show, and they give them a prompt, and then they make a fake film festival based off that prompt. And it's a great show, and it's fun. We've been on it a few times. I've been on it. Me and Zach were on it together. Josh was on it separately.
Yeah, it was amazing.
He was mad at us because he wasn't able to get on it with us.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing show. It's really funny.
But yeah, Kirk was afraid that Keith had just made up a movie.
Yeah.
And it tricked him.
Is this a real thing? Adam Sandler make a serious movie?
He did.
This has got to be fake. There's no way.
Yeah, he did make a serious movie.
So that brings me to my second discovery this week, which is about...
All right, Ron Burgundy. Let's go.
Unique New York. Sunflowers.
Sunflowers.
The title of the article is Sunflowers Could Save Lives as They Soak Up Radiation from Soil and Water. This is a really long article, but I really, really liked it. It's all about how sunflowers have been used in radioactive areas to reclaim the land, which I had no clue. Which, by the way, don't eat those sunflower seeds. That would be a really bad idea.
You should not, no.
I'll read some of this article. This article is from thesized.com. Believe it or not, sunflowers are an essential part of the cleanup process after a nuclear disaster. This is because they soak up toxins from the ground, and they even soak up toxins from like local ponds, you know, by soaking up the water. And they help purify ponds. As a result, the sunflower has become a symbol of peace and a world free of nuclear weapons. Sunflowers are what scientists refer to as hyperaccumulators. This means that the plants can soak up toxicity at a great rate, and they're able to process it and then basically digest it rather than, you know, release it back into the atmosphere. Testing has shown that land pollution dropped by over 40% in territories that contained rows of these flowers, of sunflowers. They planted them in Chernobyl and in Japan and stuff as well, where there's a lot of fallout, nuclear fallout.
Yeah.
Actually, it was in Chernobyl that they found it, that they found that sunflowers were able to basically reduce the amount of radiation and lead and stuff like that was being released in the atmosphere. Hmm. Because the scientists were like really surprised that after all of the ridiculous stuff that happened near Chernobyl – and everything died, that plants were starting to grow back. And that's when they started to study, like, why are these plants growing back? Are they able to metabolize what's in the soil or what's now radioactive, essentially? And that's how they found out about the sunflower.
Hmm.
So the planting of sunflowers, along with mustard seeds, flax seeds, and soybeans, all of these things are known to basically remove toxins from the air, is now – common practice in the event of radiation. Hiroshima is now a host of over a million sunflowers. And I thought this was very interesting. This part of the devastated territory is safe to visit now and has become a tourist attraction. And people flock to the site in the summer months to observe the sunflowers in bloom and remember those lives that were lost.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, because, yeah, that's a tragic moment in human history. Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about nature that's. But I wanted to close with this quote that they had at the end. Tragedy cannot be undone, no matter how many flower seeds are planted. With luck, however, sunflowers can act as a natural reminder of the devastation that nuclear power is capable of, while also repairing the damage caused by the mistakes of previous administrations.
Hmm.
So I didn't know, like, I've actually seen sunflowers as, like, you know, people using sunflowers as a sign of peace, but I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
And it's actually has its origin in the fact that it kind of does away with nuclear waste.
That's pretty awesome.
It was a very interesting today I learned that I found, and it was a, I don't know, I just thought it was a really cool discovery.
No, and I mean, it's because I thought you were talking about Fukushima. No,
that
like
was that
Hiroshima.
Was on there as
well. Oh, okay, was it? Yeah, because like they're trying to figure out what to do there too.
Same thing. There's sunflowers planted there as well.
Hmm.
Well, it's like a 5-page article.
Yeah,
it's
nuts how that you wouldn't think there would be any like nutrients in the soil.
Yeah, exactly.
To provide
you'd think
life
it'd be like just
stuff,
like
but
just killed everything, beneficial, yep. Negative, everything. But everything started growing back, and that's why they're like, why? Why are things growing back? Why are these things growing back? And so it's weird that like. Probably any time that you go – in fact, they even talked about – I think it was in the Ukraine how they no longer have nuclear weapons anymore. But that everywhere that there was a nuclear silo is basically a giant garden of sunflowers.
Hmm.
Because, you know, to soak up any maybe little yeah. bit of radiation that had come off of
the likely hiding spot.
So if you're ever wandering around and you just see a bunch of sunflowers, you should probably get out of there.
Or if you eat the seeds, you can become a superhero.
If only it worked that way.
Right? Doesn't that work? Well, I heard you say soy, flaxseed, chia seeds, sunflower seeds. There are going to be some very powerful vegans very soon. Superpowers.
I could go for a vegan superhero origin story. Yeah. That sounds awesome. It's like I was eating a lot of sunflower seeds and then I started feeling weird.
I don't know, man. If you eat meat, they're throwing you off this planet. Sorry, not to offend your vegan listeners. So I watched a documentary over the last week on Netflix. I did not ever know anything about this before it came out. We were just scrolling through one night, me and my wife, and there's a new documentary in there called Don't F with Cats.
Oh, I saw that. I haven't watched it, but I saw it on my recommendation.
I have not seen this.
I've told about 10 different people to watch it, and they've binged it. As fast as I did. It's only 3 episodes. And I think there's some little like teaser information trailer thing after that or whatever. A look inside. I cannot divulge too much information because then you won't want to watch it. But I will tell you that what it follows is apparently in 2008, 2009, there was a video circulating whenever you could put all kinds of crazy stuff on YouTube.
Back in the
where
Wild
you can
West
also
days.
Find this show.
YouTube, right?
This guy made a video, blurred out his face. There was some like crazy Russian speech happening in the background, so you didn't know where it was at. It was a video of him putting kittens into a bag and vacuuming out the air and killing them. And he posted it on YouTube, and it started going viral.
I already don't want to watch this though.
I know it. Well, they don't.
I don't want to watch this anymore.
They don't show the video. It hints at it, but it doesn't show anything like super graphic or super crazy. So it shows that video. So these people, what it's about is about these people that make a Facebook group and they want to hunt down this guy. I don't know what their plan was or what their intentions were to do to him. I guess just to see justice served. But they go, it's insane because they find out somehow, even with the Russian music playing in the background and his face blurred out, they are looking at all of the outlets on his wall and they see that it's in North America. They're breaking it down. They said they broke it down frame by frame.
So they doxed
and
it.
They were looking through every picture of it. They found out there's a yellow. This is all in the first, very beginning of the first episode, so I'm not spoiling anything too far in. They see a yellow vacuum in the room. The lady gets on, the one main lady that's leading the Facebook group, she goes onto a vacuum forum and puts that on there and is like, whoa, where do you find this? Goes to the store where that vacuum sold, finds the customers that bought that vacuum. And then they're just – because then
– okay. I am intrigued now.
I am curious.
Well, then it turns out he's some sort of internet celebrity and no one knows who he is. He's a model. He was on some model show that never made it very far at 16. They showed clips of that. They find out who – it's It's insane. He starts trolling them in their Facebook group. And
he starts trolling them?
Yes, the Facebook people. The guy from the video, he makes new cat videos and animal videos.
I need to know, did the cats actually die?
They died.
Oh, man.
Because then he sent them, I mean, this is a little bit of a spoiler. He sent them more videos of him than like playing with the dead cats.
Dude, this guy, okay, first of all, sounds like the worst. Like, well,
when you watch the whole documentary and you get, and it's three
episodes. I want to know.
I'm not going
to
tell you.
If justice was served. That's what I want to know.
When you get to the end and you see how it kind of manifested, unfolded, it's literally insane. And I will leave you with either that he was the dumbest person with the best luck or he was a genius. That's all you have to know.
Dang it.
You should watch it. Three episodes. 3 hours. Maybe 4 hours of your life.
Yeah, that is...
I've seen it recommended.
Insane.
That is not at all what I thought it was.
Yeah,
I will say that.
That is not what I was thinking.
When we clicked on it, I thought it was some sort of like parody. I was like, oh, they're going to do a different episode.
Reviewed a podcast that was about... And somebody did a... and they were talking about they did ASMR videos. And it was a female. And she never showed her face, wasn't it? And she had to make sure that she didn't have a window,
yeah,
so that you could see the weather in the background because she knew that people could figure out who she was.
No, I think I read about a stalker of a K-pop like star, and they looked at the reflection in either her eyeball or like glasses to figure out where she was.
I think they did that with a I think Taylor Swift had made some sort of Instagram post or something
that's
like that.
Actually,
and somebody,
very terrifying.
Somebody had like listened to what was going on in the background behind her and looked at the weather patterns. And they were like, oh, this is where she is. She wasn't there anymore. But I was like, who has that kind of... That's what this Facebook group, they are those people.
They're all those people.
They are those people.
But honestly, this guy sounds like the worst.
One of the ways that they kind of like found the guy, and it doesn't like spoil anything, is one of the... Because they were all over the U.S., the people that were looking for this dude. He found him by basically going through the whole origin of one of his pictures, and he found a gas station that was across from where he was living at the apartment buildings. And then he Google street viewed the gas station of where it was until he found the picture of that guy's apartments and then turned it back around 360. And he kind of like found where he lived.
But that is insane. I mean, yeah.
I don't know who would think about finding someone. Like, I don't know.
I'll say this. You've kind of sold me on this documentary.
Yeah.
I want to check it out.
Dang it. There goes 4 hours of my life.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's going to happen.
It's gone.
So
it's just gone.
I discovered this week, because I was always curious, because we always think like Italian food or French food or Mexican food. We think like these very regional things. And I wanted to just, what is American food? We have a pretty good idea of what it is, but I want to know
what the other people think?
The essence of what is American food. Here are America's gifts to the world. Cheeseburgers.
Yeah, baby.
There's a lot of fighting about where this started. But just that, what you're thinking of right now, Five Guys, that is America, baby. Like, that is just, that's America all day. Buffalo wings from Buffalo, New York. Another delicious addition to the world's flavor palette. Reubens. Do you guys like Reubens?
I love them.
Let me hear this.
He doesn't like the sauerkraut. I like them, but without the sauerkraut.
I love it. Everyone around me for the next 24 hours does not.
Okay,
you smell like corned beef, sauerkraut, and dressing.
No.
Kirk gets cabbaged, and then he has problems.
My stomach processes things differently than most people's.
Kirk has a very healthy stomach. Yeah. He keeps telling me all the time.
Regular. I learned it from Dexplanations.
We'll talk about this next week. No spoilies. Okay, so Reuben's pecan pie. You're welcome,
really?
World.
Or pecan.
No.
I say pecan.
I feel like the only...
Which one's Southern? Which one's Southern?
Pecan is the Southern
pecan,
one.
Right?
Well, I feel like it's not only Southern because I'm Southern, but still, like, okay, we had a teacher in high school. I won't say his name, but you guys know him. He's like, you say trash can, not or trash con.
I remember.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I know who it was.
Yeah, I can
already figure it out. Tinstoffel, right?
Yes, yeah, Tinstoffel. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's
We're
the guy.
There. We're there.
Chocolate chip cookies. You're welcome, world. You're welcome. S'mores.
It took an American to figure that out.
Chocolate chip cookies? Yeah. It's all just like butter and fat.
You're welcome.
Delicious.
I'm s'more into s'mores than I am chocolate chip cookies.
I love that I'm half Mexican and half American, so I can say you're welcome for that, and you're welcome for tacos.
I mean, yeah, you should say
that. I thought this list was going to be Chinese food, Mexican food.
No. Why would you think that? That's the opposite.
French fries.
I mean, honestly, okay, it is true that Chinese food, like Chinese takeout food, is basically American.
Pizza.
Keep naming them because I do want to. Yeah. I have a question after.
Lobster rolls. Okay. So that's
really?
That's Northeast.
Yeah, it's like Maine.
Corn dogs.
I love corn dogs.
Brownies. Like, okay, I like brownies. Are you starting to see a theme?
Okay.
Where none of this is like, oh, here's a health food.
Nothing so far has not involved bread.
Hey.
Ranch dressing.
Okay.
No bread.
No bread. Ranch dressing, but you can dip bread in it.
Deep dish pizza.
Yeah, baby.
Philly cheesesteak.
Oh, I love Philly cheesesteaks.
Tater tots.
What about, have you heard of tater tachos?
Yes.
So what, you make nachos
or tater
tots?
On top of tater tots.
I mean, I could go for that. And I read another one of these that also had like candy corn, but it's like, I don't want that one. That's
gross.
Candy corn tastes like you're eating a sweet candle. Yeah. It's the worst. It is terrible.
This candle smells good and tastes good too. Tastes like Halloween.
It's so bad. Do you guys like candy corn?
I hate candy corn.
Oh, it's so bad. But yeah, you're welcome, world. These things are delicious and terrible for you.
I have a question, and I know there's not an answer, but this is just a thought experiment. Just like we have Mexican restaurants and Chinese restaurants and Vietnamese restaurants, and you get it. Is there American restaurants at other countries?
Yeah, McDonald's. Yes.
No. I'm talking about, is there like, hey, I'm going to go to the American restaurant today.
I think they do. But, I mean, have you ever seen like an American section at a store in England? It's like all Pop-Tarts. It's like 90% Pop-Tarts.
I'm going to the American store. I got to get some brownies, tater tots, and corn dogs.
No, what I'm saying is like, okay, imagine if you went to Publix and there was an English section.
No wonder we're so fat.
Yeah.
So, dude.
They will have this. They'll have sections in grocery stores in other countries, but it's all garbage food. It's like Pop-Tarts and, I don't know, Rice Krispie treats.
Why can we not be known? Oh, we're known for our lean grilled chicken breasts
because
and rice and vegetables.
Okay. Should we lie to ourselves, though?
No, because that's not good. That doesn't taste good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like
tater tots on top of a dish pizza with
like,
cheesesteak sauce.
And here's what anybody that's not American wouldn't realize is like any of these dishes I've just listed, you can combine and become more American. If you want to make a deep dish tater tot, people will do that.
All right.
If you want to do a lobster roll with s'mores on it.
Why not? Why not have a little toasted marshmallow on top of
your
lobster?
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
So when, Zach, when... when
s'more lobster rolls didn't quit being cool. People quit being cool.
When we finally decide to make our barcade, we have to have on the menu the all-American five-course meal. And it is every single one of those things.
So it's a five-course meal that's actually 13 courses? Yeah, that's the most American thing I can imagine.
No. We have to put all the desserts into one dessert.
Oh, okay.
We have to figure out which things work good for the appetizers and then all the other things that are...
A pecan pie Reuben.
All the other things that go with a five-course meal because that's just three things. I don't... No, that's not
it. Oh, those two don't go... Those don't... Okay, well, I'm not...
A buffalo cheeseburger.
I can get down with that.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
A cheeseburger with buffalo...
Dang it, I'm hungry now.
Now, if we're going cheeseburger too, I'm going to make it more American... If you're not putting an American Craft single on there, is it really even a cheeseburger?
Isn't no? That's what's implied though with a cheeseburger.
I know, but you
it's
put
the plastic cheese.
Yeah,
plastic cheese.
Not the taste good cheese.
The taste bad cheese.
It doesn't taste bad. No, that's the taste. You just said Five Guys earlier, and they definitely are not using Gruyere or Gouda. They're definitely using a Craft single. There's no brie on that burger.
Here, I'll throw out a hot take. I'm getting zero cheese on my Five Guys burger.
That's insane.
I realize that people think that.
You are a serial killer.
I understand that people don't like it, but get that plastic cheese out my face.
Into my mouth.
But yeah, that is, I was always curious. And like, there's also barbecue and there's things that we've introduced, but it's just funny to hear that all of our foods that we've introduced to the culinary world are terrible for you.
Hey,
but you're welcome.
Let's be honest, though. They all taste real good.
Oh, they taste great.
They all taste real good, America.
Yeah, it's not like England's got blood, sausage, and tomatoes for their brekkie. We're over here cooking.
They definitely do
eggs.
Have that.
Yeah.
No, and they have baked beans.
They got baked beans on their breakfast and mushrooms.
Yeah, their breakfast looks hardcore. I couldn't eat that.
We've got bacon, eggs, and grits.
Yeah, baby.
I don't know if I got more of a southern accent when I say grits.
Grits.
They got, we got chicken fried chicken.
You can't say grits without a southern grits. Accent. Otherwise, no one will know what it is.
And if they ain't cheese grits, get them out here. And you know what kind of cheese I'm talking.
Hello, sir. Could I please have some grits? Then nobody would know what you're talking about.
Sir, I don't know what you're talking about. What are grits?
Kiss my grits.
Yeah, so American food is its own thing. And for my final discovery of the week, I kind of have a cool announcement. I have finally launched the Creator's Cove.
Yeah, baby.
I have, and I consider this a spinoff of this show because the whole reason I wanted to make it was because I was discovering these bands and I wanted to know more about them. I wanted to know what they were passionate about and how they got into what they were doing.
The PDS is having babies now.
Yes, the PDS is having babies. This is the baby of the PDS, and it's called the Creator's Cove. And the first episode I put out is with Hollis Brown. And this is somebody that I literally was reaching out for the PDS and just had an opportunity to talk to the lead singer, Mike Montali. And I took it. I took the opportunity, and it spun off into a show.
Yeah, your life's been a lot different since then.
It has been. Yeah, it has been
people
different.
People don't know that, but your life's been a lot different.
Yeah, I've been at a lot of venues late at night. It's been different, but it's been a crazy experience. And Mike is an awesome guy. If you would like to hear more about him, they're from Queens. They are making their twist on classic rock. So they grew up on rock, just the classic stuff, the good stuff. And they wanted to put their twist on it. They wanted to put a current twist on what is kind of considered like an old genre now, you know, because really rock bands are not like the headliners mm-hmm. anymore. It's not, usually it's like EDM or pop music is the people who are selling out stadiums right now. But they wanted to stay true to what they were about. They had a lot of different influences growing up in Queens. And I had a whole conversation with him. You can check it out on Creator's Cove, but the song this week is called Go For It by Hollis Brown. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Go for it.
Some came up on the world today. We just want the moon. And once I get what I want something else. Gotta get that soon, yeah. Go for it.
was a podcast from the Podfix Network. You can check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.
Nope. There you go.
I made myself deaf in this ear.
There you go.
I can't hear anything.